about how you came to be a pilgrim. What was your state before beginning on this way?
Oh, I was much in the enjoyment of all my sins and pleasures, as were all others who dwelt at Vanity Fair.
What things were they?
All the treasures and riches of the world. Also, I delighted much in rioting, reveling, drinking, swearing, lying, uncleanness, Sabbath breaking, and whatnot, that tended to destroy the soul. But I found at last, by hearing and considering of things that are divine, which indeed I heard of you, and beloved Faithful, that was put to death for his faith and good living in Vanity Fair, that the end of these things is death, and that for these things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience.
And did you quickly fall under the power of this conviction?
Oh, no. I was not willing to know the evil of sin, nor the damnation that follows, but rather tried to shut mine eyes against the light.
But what caused you to finally realize that it was the Spirit of God calling you?
Well, firstly, I was ignorant that it was God working upon me. I never thought that, by awakening a realization of sin, that God at first begins the conversion of a sinner. Secondly, sin was yet very sweet to my flesh, and I was loath to leave it. Thirdly, I could not tell how to part with mine old companions, their presence and actions being so agreeable unto me. Fourthly, the hours in which conviction were upon me were such troublesome and such heart-affrighting hours that I could not bear them, not even their memory.
Then did you sometimes get rid of your convictions?
Yes. By many and various means I would try to forget. But they would always return, and then I would be as bad off, nay, worse off than I was before.
Why? What brought your sins to mind again?
Oh, many things. Such as if I did meet with a good man in the streets, or if I but heard any read from the Bible, or if mine head did begin to ache, or if I were told that some of my neighbors were sick, or if I heard the bell toll for some that were dead, or if I thought of dying myself, or if I heard that sudden death happened to others. But especially when I thought of myself, that I must quickly come to judgment.
And could you ever get rid of the sense of guilt?
No, not at all. For it began to get a tighter hold of my conscience. And then, if my fleshly mind did begin to think of turning back to my sin, even though my heart was dead set against it, it would be double torment to me.
So what did you do?
Why, I thought I must try to mend my life. Or else, thought I am sure to be damned.
And did you?
Oh, yes. I fled not only from my sins, but from sinful company, too, and betook me to religious duties, as praying, reading, weeping for sin, speaking truth to my neighbors, and so forth.
And did you think yourself well then?
Yes, for a while. But at last my troubled conscience came tumbling upon me again, and that in spite of all my reformations.
How so? Since you were now reformed.
It was again the reading of the Word of God. There I read such things as these. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants.
Ah, yes. I remember reading such things myself. Then what?
From these sayings, I began to reason with myself thus. If all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and if, by the deeds of the law, no man can be justified, and if when we have done all we are yet unprofitable servants, then it is but a folly to think of gaining heaven by the law.
Well thought out. Go on.
Well, then I thought of this. If a man runs £100 into the shopkeeper's debt, and afterwards shall repent, and from then on pay for all that he shall buy, yet his old debt doth still stand in the book uncancelled. And at any time the shopkeeper may sue him and cast him into the prison till he shall pay him.
And how did you apply this to yourself?
Like this. I have, by my sins, run a great way into God's debt. And my now reforming will in no wise pay off that past score. Yea, though I live ever so perfectly, the past is ever there to collect its due. And I have no extra righteousness to expend to my past.
A very good application. But do go on.
Another thing that did trouble me greatly was that if I looked closely at even the best of my deeds, I found that I was doing them for selfish reasons. Therefore, even my good deeds were mixed with sin, enough to find me guilty in the judgment.
Then what did you do?
Do? I could not tell what to do. I was like to give up, till I break my mind to Faithful, for he and I were well acquainted. And he told me that unless I could obtain the righteousness of a man that never had sinned, neither mine own nor all the righteousness of the world could save me.
And did you believe him?
When I was satisfied with my good deeds, I would have called him a fool. But now, since I have seen myself truly, and the sin which joins itself to my best performance, I have been forced to admit that he is right.
But did you think that such a man could be found, who had never committed sin?
Not at the first, but later, yes.
And did you ask him what man this was, and how his righteousness might become your own?
Yes, and he told me it was the Lord Jesus. He told me that I might trust in what he had done for me, first by his life, and second by his sufferings upon the cross.
Did you ask him how that man's righteousness could be of such a quality that it could justify you before God?
Yea, verily.
And?
He told me that he was the mighty God who had done his noble deeds, not for himself, but for me. He further told me that all his life and deeds should become mine own, if I would but believe on him.
And what did you do then?
I made myself excuses not to believe, for I thought he was not willing to save one such as I.
And how did Faithful answer you?
He bid me go to him and see. Then I said it was presumption, but he said no, for I was invited to come. Then he gave me a book of Jesus' inditing to encourage me the more freely to come. And he said concerning that book that every jot and tittle thereof stood firmer than heaven and earth. Then I asked him what I must do when I came. And he told me I must entreat on my knees with all my heart and soul the Father to reveal him to me. Then I asked him further how I must make supplication to him. And he said,
Go. And thou shalt find him upon a mercy seat, where he sits all the year long to give pardon and forgiveness to them that come.
I told him that I knew not what to say when I came, and he bid me say to this effect,
God be merciful to me, a sinner, and make me to know and believe in Jesus Christ. For I see that if his righteousness had not been, or if I have not faith in that righteousness, I am utterly cast away. Lord, I have heard that thou art a merciful God, and hast ordained that thy Son, Jesus Christ, should be the Savior of the world, and moreover, that thou art willing to bestow his righteousness upon such a poor sinner as I am. And I am a sinner indeed. Lord, take therefore this opportunity, and magnify thy grace in the salvation of my soul, through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A beautiful prayer. And did you then do as you were bidden?
Oh, yes. Over and over and over.
And did the Father reveal his Son to you?
Not at the first, nor second, nor third, or fourth, or fifth, no, nor even at the sixth time.
What did you do then?
Why, I could not tell what to do.
Had you no thoughts of leaving off praying?
Yes, 100 times twice told.
And why didn't you?
Because I believed that it was true which had been told me. That is, that without the righteousness of this Christ, all the world could not save me. And therefore, thought I with myself, if I leave off to pray, I shall die. And if I must die, as well here at the throne of grace, as at the flesh pots of Egypt. And then this thought came into my mind. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So I continued praying, until at last the Father showed me his Son.
And how was he revealed to you?
It happened on this wise.